Thanks for joining us for another awesome message from C3 Church Toronto. Our heart is that these podcasts would be a tool that helps you connect to God. If you need more info on our church, check out our website at www.c3toronto.com. Now grab a coffee and prepare your heart for a powerful word from God.
Please get your Bibles out. Get ready. God is going to speak a word for you today. We are in the Christ in Us series, and I want you to engage with the hosts over on the side in the comment section there. Just that's the place where you can amen down. Just even as things are going on, you can add to the points right in there, write your notes in there, and it's just a good way to engage with the message. Our hosts are doing such an incredible job, and it's just so good that you're here today and tuning in. Now, we are in the middle of the Christ in Us series, so I want to encourage you to go back on our podcast, the C3 Toronto podcast, and check out the other messages. This is a massive subject, and we are really finding through this time as a church that Jesus is revealing himself in us. And I want to suggest to you that this is one of the most important revelations that you and I can have, is who in fact we are in Christ. Say that with me right now, in Christ. In Christ, come on. And so, like, we have a lot of questions through this time. How do I get clarity? How do I get more security? How do I move forward? Like, where is my faith? Where is my trust? Where is my safety? I need love. I need hope. I need and all these needs. I want to tell you that it's all summed up in our identity in Jesus. If we get to the Father and the Father, and we understand that He lives in us, everything comes out of that revelation. So this is like the well that everything comes from, and it's so important. And one thing that's really been encouraging me lately is the book of Romans. I want you to really deep dive in the book of Romans. It's a super exciting book that just tells the gospel, and it tells the gospel of Jesus, and it marries up with the book of Galatians. So if you want to do a deep study, check out Romans, check out Galatians, and learn who you are in Jesus. Now, Romans chapter 8 is like the pinnacle. Romans chapter 8 is a massive chapter in the book of Romans. It kind of sums up a lot of thoughts. And I want to read from Romans chapter 8 and verse 14 about being children of God and the importance of that and what we get out of that. So that's what we're going to look at today. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. So there's the hallmark of being a child of God, is those that are led by God's Spirit. And because there are many other spirits that lead us in many directions, but when we get born again, when we invite Jesus into our heart, a spirit, the Holy Spirit comes on the inside of us, and we're led by that Spirit, and that is the hallmark of being a child of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship or daughtership. And by Him we cry, there's a deep cry inside us that cries, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit. So can I get a witness? That's what you hear that in church. It's the testimony, it's the witness of the Holy Spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we might also share in His glory. You know, the world needs hope right now. We read a statistic last week that CAMH has actually, it's online virtual calls of people that are in mental distress and mental health and different disorders has increased by 750% in 1 month. In this last month, over 3,000 needs and calls came in. That was more than there was in the entire of 2019 in that year. It's crazy, and people are desperate and they need hope, and hope is found in understanding who we are in God. When we receive Jesus, we receive the source of hope. And when the source of hope is on the inside of us, all of hope resides on the inside of us. And the benefits of that overflow out of us, of us understanding that we are children of God. And the Holy Spirit leads us to this. It says that the hallmark in the beginning there is that the Holy Spirit leads us. You know, there was a story in the Bible where Jesus cast out a different spirit into a herd of pigs. And what happened is these demons went into this herd of pigs and it drove them mad and drove them off a cliff and they drowned. Any other spirit that's not the Holy Spirit will drive us crazy. It might first think or promise to us that it's going to actually help us, but hope is only found in the leading of the Holy Spirit. And the leading, you can tell the characteristics and the nature of the Holy Spirit because it's opposite to that. If the spirit of the world drives you and anxiety is driving you and depression is driving you and condemnation and shame is driving you, if those spirits drive us, the Holy Spirit doesn't drive us, the Holy Spirit guides us. It invites us and guides us to greater identity and greater understanding of the Father in heaven. And John 16 says this, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you, not drive you, will guide you into all truth. And do you know how the Holy Spirit does that? Is the Holy Spirit guides us to proximity with the Father, and that is all truth. When you are close to the Father in heaven and you there is nothing separating you and God, which is the truth, is that all of truth, the veil is lifted and all of truth is right there. So the Holy Spirit is not even trying to preach to you. The Holy Spirit's just trying to lead you to a person, Jesus. When we get led to Jesus, it's like there's little preaching needed because his nature and his characteristic and the characteristic of faith, hope, and love is now residing on the inside of us, and that's how he leads us to all truth. So the closer we are to God, the more clearly we see and the more secure we are. And that's a hopeful message for somebody watching this today. The closer you are to God, the more clearly that you see and the more secure you will feel. So number one, point one, is the Spirit leads us, and being children of God gives us, being a child of God gives us security, And this just reminds me of a story where, so we go over to my grandparents' house. I've got a twin sister. Her name's Marie. She actually leads our kids' ministry. She's amazing. And our family, we would go over to our grandparents' house sometimes in the school holidays. And it's this gigantic house that it somewhat would be scary and it would be different, but it would be kind of exciting at the same time. And there was this pool table room in the basement of this two-story house. And you'd go down the stairs and you'd go and play pool in the pool table room or whatever. But it was such a creepy room. It was like dark. It was like had this weird, shaggy, like browny orange carpet. Always smelt kind of wet, like something was wet in the room. And you look around and there's these mannequin heads all around the top, like boxes and different things. And mannequin heads with like scarves and weird hats and stuff on them, like those hairdressing styrofoam. I texted Marie this week and I said, you know, do you remember that? Like, was there anything that you remember from that? And I could tell that she just needs to go see a therapist or maybe get some time with God or something, because there is some permanent damage of fear coming from our grandparents' house for sure. She recalled and reminded me that there was a baby mobile that was made of clown heads, like baby mobiles that was made of clown heads, that where the clowns had hats and ping pong balls as eyes. Like this is like Chucky, demonic, like I don't know what it was a scary place. Now here's the thing, is once I was playing with Lego and I left some Lego down there, and I remember going down the stairs and I don't know, it's like everything comes alive and you just freak out. So like I pick up the Lego, and as a kid, you know when you think that there's like a scary man down the end of the hallway or whatever and everybody else is down the rest of the house, you just do whatever you can to just book it and just run. You're like, woo! And you just like run really quickly down the hallway and you just want to get back to safety again. And that's what it felt like. I ran down, got the Lego, and then, you know, all of a sudden, all the mannequin heads, and I'm getting haunted by this, and I run out of this place and then take the Lego back up, and then, like, I'm finally back up, you know, in safety. And it's funny because when I would go down and play pool and play on the pool table, which I loved, and it was one of the most exciting, because my parents, we didn't have a pool table, but we'd go to Pop's house and play pool with Pop. If Pop was with me, it's for some reason I wasn't scared. if the environment was exactly the same, there was still the creepy clown head mobile, there was still the mannequin heads up on the wall, but even though the environment was same, the shift of power had changed. When Pop was with me, power was different. When Pop was with me, I knew I was safe. When you understand that you're a child of God, confidence, assurance, these things that we have, and that's why it says we're not a slave of fear, but fear has to leave. Perfect love casts out fear, not because we dealt with fear, but because we invited Jesus. We invited perfect love. And Roman culture, it would teach this thing of adopted sons, and this is the book of Romans, and what would happen is that a slave would work with a master, and then at one point the master might decide, listen, this person is valuable to me, and I want to adopt this person as a slave, as a son. And so and the adoption would mean is that they would now carry the family name. They would wear a ring that was like a seal of authority. It was a shift of power. And so the slave would lose all the rights. This is true in Roman history. The slave would lose all the rights and consequences of the old life and would be granted every right, would become an heir as a son of the family. So all the things that were coming for you in the old life now aren't coming for you, and everything has now shifted because you're a son of a new master. And this completely removes fear and gives us security. In the Old Testament, when we were slaves to the law, the tabernacle, they used to tie a rope around the ankle of someone that would enter into the tabernacle because of fear of God, that if this person wasn't atoned right, that they, and if they died inside the Holy of Holies, that there were, the bell would stop ringing on the end of the rope, and the other people would have to pull the guy back out by the rope in order, because there was so much fear surrounding the consequences and the rights of what it meant to not be a son and be a slave. But we now live under the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. And so the statement, man, you're going to get what's coming to you, that statement used to scare us. But now, in fact, that statement now excites us. You know what? You're going to get what's coming to you. What's coming for you is love. What's coming for you is favor. What's coming for you is mercy. What's coming for you is kindness. What's coming for you is grace, is freedom, is hope, is destiny. I'm telling you, because you're a child of God, because you're adopted into the house of God, because you're adopted into the rights of that house, because you're adopted under a new power and a new authority, fear is not coming your way. Security is coming for you. Courage is coming for you. Faith is coming for you. Freedom, inheritance, all these great things. This is what it means to be adopted in. This is what it means to be a child of God. Do you not know that who you are in Jesus Christ? Health is coming for you. Riches is coming for you. Fulfillment is coming for you. And so we need to not wake up every day with a disillusionment and a misplaced appropriation of fear because of our identity in Jesus. And that when we understand who we are in Jesus, we understand that this stuff that used to be coming for you that was going to kill us and destroy us, now what's coming for you is life and life to the full. Come on. What an amazing revelation of what it means to be a child of God. And so our Connect Group discussion from point one is, what are some of the fears that you and I have been carrying around? What are some of the fears that we carry around, and have we forgotten who we are in God? We don't need to carry those fears around. Okay, so number one, being a child of God gives us security. Number two, being a child of God gives us His presence. Gives us His presence. When I was first praying for this church and walking up Queen Street, Queen West, I asked God, what is the answer for the city of Toronto, for the nation of Canada? And I know it's Jesus, so can you please make that more palatable for me? And I was praying this prayer, and God just said to me, Sam, it's My presence. In every one of the services that we have, in every experience that we have, and even right now here watching this on your TV or on your device, understand that God is alive and His presence is for us. And being a child of God means that we get the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. And in verse 16, it says, the Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. So there's a presence. There's a witness. Let me say it again. Can I get a witness? There's a witness on the inside of you. And that's how we know right theology from wrong theology. Even in some of the deepest concepts in the Bible, we're like, I don't understand why I don't feel right about agreeing with this, because there's a witness. God is on the inside of you. There is something on the inside of you that's telling you that God is present. God is with you. He's in you. And it's this experience with God. So when we feel the power of God, when we feel the presence of God. So when you and I are overwhelmed with worry, with pressure, when we're confused or we feel guilt or we feel powerless, we look up to God. And you might want to do this right now. And you say, God, give me your presence. And then whew, in a moment, God just speaks to us and tells us, hey, I'm with you. I remember when we were walking up Spadina Avenue in Toronto. It's one of the main streets in downtown Toronto, and we knew that we were going to plant this church in downtown Toronto. I was overwhelmed with the presence of fear. And I prayed to God and said, hey, God, I just can't do this without you. I'm so crippled with fear. And you know what God's response to me was? He said, good, because you will never need to. You'll never need to do this without me. God, when we know that we're a child of God, we know we have security in him, but we know that he's always, you never need to walk into that dark basement without Pop ever again. Pop is with you. And so we have so many stories of people that come in and into our church services, into our experiences, and people will say, man, for the first 6 months that I was going to C3 Toronto, I'd just be weeping. I'd be crying, and I wouldn't even know why. It was like I was just experiencing God every Sunday. It didn't matter what you were preaching on, Sam, that it's like God's, and it's the presence of God. When God shows up and he makes himself real and he shows his love to you and you feel the presence, it causes us to weep, it causes us to repent, it causes us to turn to him, and it causes us to receive his love. One of the greatest prayers in the Bible is the prayer from Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 19 says this, I pray that you would experience the love of Christ. And I pray this over you watching this right now. Though it's too great to fully understand, then you'll be made complete with the fullness of life and the power that comes from God. As you're watching right now, God's presence is with you. And the second thing I want to talk about in our Connect groups this week is tell each other a story of when you reached out to God and you instantly felt his presence. Because when we reach out to God, he's there right away. And there's something about the presence of God is that when you feel it and then you acknowledge it, as we acknowledge it, it builds. That's exactly what worship is. Worship is acknowledging the existence and the presence of God. And when we worship God and we acknowledge God, it rises, it builds. So right now as you're watching this, maybe just consider the presence of God right now. Just acknowledge it. Whatever you're feeling, I mean, I know the presence of fear is there. I know the presence of other things that doubt, insecurity. I know those presences are there. I know those presences will drive you crazy. I know that there is a presence of loneliness in some people. I know there's a presence of shame and condemnation in some people. And I know what those feelings and what those atmospheres and how they'll drive us to feelings, and they'll drive us to a place where we feel like there's no hope. But I want to tell you that there is a greater presence. The Father in heaven, God, and the Spirit inside us is a witness to that. And if you would acknowledge that right now, you will feel the presence of God in your space right now. You will feel it rise. That's why you put on some worship music. You put on that new song that C3 Toronto did, I stand in Christ, and you put that on and you just feel it ministering to you, and the Holy Spirit becomes a witness. Our spirit and the Holy Spirit says, yes, this is good. Yes, the presence of God. This is all I need. This is all I will ever need. It's the well of hope that lives on the inside of us. So number one, being a child of God, it gives us security. Number two, being a child of God, it gives us his presence. And number three, being a child of God, it gives us intimacy. It gives us intimacy. The Bible says in Romans 8 that we cry, Abba, Father. This word is like, it's like the baby's first words. I'm pretty sure, I could be wrong, you might need to fact check with Jess, but I'm pretty sure Noah and Kenzie's first word was Dada. At least that's what we're going to all agree with right now, that it actually was Dada. And I'm very determined that Ayla's first word, our third born, that her first word's going to be Dada. Every time I talk to her, I'll say Dad, 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 Dad. And I'm trying to just get it. It's manipulation, I know, but she just needs to understand that her dad is always with her. And so, but there is something in a baby that you will see that when the baby is by itself, it's crying, frolicking, freaking out, but then you pick up the baby as a dadda, you put the baby in your arms, and there's this exhale of like, the Bible calls that selah. The Bible calls that peace. The Bible calls that an exhale in the spirit where it's security and intimacy, being close in proximity. And shame and condemnation will try and tell you that you deserve separation from God. But Romans tells you that there is nothing that can separate you from God. And so Romans 8, the spirit, in Romans 8, it tells us that the spirit is this groan, that we cry, Abba, Father. In Romans 8, 26 to 28, it says this, in the same way, the spirit helps us in our weakness, for we don't know what we should pray. We don't know what we should cry out for, but the Spirit himself intercedes through us in wordless groans, in accordance with the will of God, it says in verse 27, that even though we don't know what our destiny is, that the Holy Spirit does. And in verse 28, it says, and we know that all things work together for good. All things, God works together for good for those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. So here's what Romans 8 is telling you. Is that you're a child of God, and that in that you get to cry out, Abba Father. And when you don't even know what to cry out, you don't even know how to deal with life, that you have a Holy Spirit that's leading you on the inside of you, that's pointing you to your inheritance, to your purpose in God. And the Holy Spirit is crying out to God. And the result of the Holy Spirit crying out is that we understand this revelation that all things are going to work together for good. And that when we are close and intimate with God, and when we know that God's presence is in us, that his security resides in us, that our hope and destiny and our inheritance in him is secure, and that his promises are true, and all this stuff, and we know this through the love of God, we also know that all things work together for good, for those that are called by God, for the children of God, for those that are led by the Holy Spirit. That's why I believe so much in praying in tongues, is I believe it's just this direct access where that just shoots us to our identity in him. That when we don't know what to pray, it's this direct point of connection that make us totally aligned with the purpose of God on our life, totally aligned with who we are in God, totally aligned with our identity, and deal with all the other stuff, deal with all the other fears and anxieties and things going on in our life, and it gives us this access and intimacy, and it means that we can run boldly into God's throne room. So as we're close to the Father, we come to some conclusions that Romans 8 tells us. We come to the conclusion that we've got this. That being a child of God, that we've got what it takes, and that all things will work out, and that there is hope. But the greatest conclusion that Romans 8 is telling us is that God loves us. God loves us. I want to say that in the third thing that we should talk about as connect groups is describe God as your Father, Abba Father. Describe God as your Father, and what does this actually mean for your life? The significance of that. Listen, as we're led by the Spirit, it gives us security, it gives us his presence, and it gives us intimacy. And all we need to do in order to have this promise, in order to have what this is talking about, is be led by the Spirit close to God. All we need to do is receive Jesus into our lives, is to receive the message in faith, to receive the message that Jesus died on a cross so that we could be in an unhindered relationship with God. I don't want to be walking around life freaking out, in fear, alone and isolated without Pop by my side. There are so many things in the environments of our lives that seem to produce fear and darkness, like that pool table room, like that basement at my grandparents' house, to try and walk and navigate life without God is like walking through darkness. It's walking through fear. It's walking through shame and condemnation. It's walking through without the presence of God, it's walking through everything that I feel destroys life. But when we invite Jesus into our heart, we invite His presence into our life. We invite the Holy Spirit into our life, and this is the greatest decision that you will ever make. I want you to consider right now as you're watching this, whether you've made this decision, and maybe you have never ever invited Jesus into your heart. Well, now is the time. We're going to pray a prayer with you right now in this online service. Or maybe you have made this decision before, but you know that your life isn't where it should be with God. And as I'm talking to you about being a child of God, you want to be adopted into the family, and you want to recommit and rededicate your life to God. And if that's you, if you want to pray this prayer either for the first time, or you want to recommit your life to God, all you need to do is click on the raise your hand button in the comments section there. Just click on that raise your hand button. That's a way to indicate to us that you want to pray this prayer. And so I believe it's a way that you indicate to heaven that you're praying this prayer, and we're going to pray this together. So just believe in your heart right now that God is your Father, that He is close, and that you're inviting Him into your life as we pray this prayer. Repeat after me. Say, Dear Jesus, I thank you for what you did on the cross to save my life. Forgive me and make me new right now, and help me follow you as my Savior and my Lord from this moment on. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. That's it. You have now just disassociated yourself with the old condemnation, the old rights, and the old things that were coming at you, and you've now attached yourself to the intimacy and love and inheritance found in the family of God. God is your Father, and that means you have security, that means you have His presence, and that means that you have intimacy with Him. I'm telling you, all of hope is in your life. Do not forget who you are in God, that you are a child of God and you are precious in His sight.